Blog Talk Radio.
denier who jumped in the pit with a lion and slew it on the snowy day. Hey, hey, I got a rep for the lion hearted. Y'all bless the spirit of my dearly departed. Who put their life on the line? Defended my people from the uncircumcised. Praise Yah, for his heavenly power. My city rising came like a beautiful flower. My king be the champion. Niggas intended me some lady now. We gods in the flesh, we some lady new. But we die like you do. We need to die young. Born a baby. King of Judah. Land of the lion. Three festivals a year, held in Jerusalem only, commanded by the Most High only, bringing tithes and offerings to the sons of Aaron, only to Jerusalem only, Deuteronomy 16, Second Chronicles 7, 12, caution reading yourself, this is not a lie, here to bring in the message, I'll let Jesus bring lessons. Deuteronomy 12, Leviticus 23, Leviticus 22, this word is the living truth. And so I'm spitting the fire, consuming the liar, never call me a dragon. Cause I am only a lion, guilty the lungs of my grandpa David. Hey, I am nothing to play with, got feelings in my music like my grandpa David.
Another episode of Blog Talk Radio with your host, Five Smooth Stones. I am Brother Seth. Another exciting episode. I know I say it every week, exciting episode. But if it's not exciting, like I said once before, I don't do it. I don't cover it. I only pick things that I find is something that is relevant to our life, to our plight, to our people, to our planet, to our Heavenly Father, and that makes it exciting, simple and plain. Kind of under the weather tonight, so hopefully y'all will bear with me. But I am going to swing at this as hard as the Most High will allow me. Had a rough day at work today, and I'm just anyway, it's a long story. But just wanted to just share tonight kind of the things we talked about on last week. Last week we had a very interesting conversation. I think we went over probably 10 or 20 minutes or something. I think in the week before that, it was interesting. These Tuesday nights, I think y'all like this better than me actually bringing on guests, like when I used to bring on the guests. You know, the show was designed to bring on Israelites from all over the world and just find out what's going on with them. But ever since I started talking about the plight of our people and what our people is going through, and the Israelites, you know, ever since I started talking about what the Israelites have been going through in terms of what their, you know, this whole non-Messianic community versus the Messianic community, which is very serious a thing going on with the Israelites. And just different things like that. Y'all have really, really responded. And it just kind of caught me off guard because I thought, you know, people wouldn't be interested in that. But y'all have shown me. So not for the sake of, yes, well, let me just back up here. We're discussing it again because it was a very hot topic. When we say the word hot, I really don't like using that word. That's a secular word. Marketing word that means it's hot, so you should talk about it. But everything that's controversial and everything that's so-called hot, we probably shouldn't always go with that. So there'll be sometimes things might be popular to talk about, like, for instance, on Blog Talk Radio, I think the number one thing to talk about, to tell you the truth, is sex. Anybody talking about sex on Blog Talk Radio, if you notice, they got crazy amount of followers, crazy amount of friends, because that's America's way. Sex, violence, and drugs. That's what we live off of and partying. So I try to stick with something that's going to be relevant, something that's going to help us as a people, something that has to do with this end-time move, this revelation of who we are as a people. You know, I try to stick with things that I feel like the Most High is saying within the earth at this particular time. So that's where we go with that. But I am shocked that this show is becoming. It's not the most popular show we do over here at Five Smooth Stones. This is your host, Five Smooth Stones. And it's not the most popular, but I tell you, it is getting shocking numbers. So anyway, how y'all doing tonight? Hopefully everybody is doing fine. I really mean that. I'm not just saying that. I just hope y'all are doing very well. I hope that you had a wonderful time with your Heavenly Father, because that's really why we was made. Nothing else. No other reason. You have no other reason to be doing any other thing on the planet other than enjoying your Heavenly Father. He made us, put us in a garden to do just that. Our forefather, Adam, blew it. And he sent the Messiah to come take away our sins so we can have that same opportunity again. So hopefully today you spend time with your Heavenly Father, okay? And if you didn't, it's not the end of the world. It's not too late to start. So tonight will be one of those opportunities for us to be prayerful. We'll pray here in a little bit and to invite the Most High into our time tonight. I value your time. I value your time. This may sound a little arrogant, but I probably value your time more than you value your time. I just feel like people are very, very important. They are the most important thing on this planet as far as living beings. And I never underestimate who I'm talking to, what they're able to do. I know personally, I know it by firsthand that sometimes we may think this or that of ourselves, but the information that the Most High will use us, because we remember we're supposed to be submitted 100% servants unto Him. The scripture says even our own bodies are not ours. Those of us that are calling ourselves believers, or some people use the word Christian or saints or whatever you want to call yourself as a follower of the Most High, but the Bible says that we are to submit ourselves 100% acceptable unto the Most High, and that our bodies are even not ours. They're for His work. His work. We have waived our will to obey the will of another. We volunteer into this slavery, so to speak, but not the bad stigma that slavery come with. This is a good slavery. This is where we submit to the Father and do things His way. We give up our will and do things His way. So our body truly is supposed to be His body. Now, do we always live like that? Y'all know we don't. But the truth of the matter is, this is what we're supposed to live by. He is supposed to get glory out of our life. He is supposed to live through us. So hopefully that happened today, or, you know, if not all day, some of the day, and let's seek for it to be all day. I know with me it definitely wasn't all day, but I do seek for the Most High to run my life in every way, form, and fashion. I want to say shalom to everybody there in the chat room. Shalom to everybody there in the chat room, and especially my friend. And I only call her out because I don't think she probably has missed the program. I mean, if she has, it's been very few, and that is Mama B. So now that I'm looking over anybody else, but just thank everybody for calling and on being on the chat room. We just thank you. We can't thank you enough. I really value y'all's time. And just pray with us tonight that we will hear from the Most High. He does have a word for us. If we seek Him with all our hearts, the Bible says, when will you hear from the Most High? When you seek Him with all your heart. So tonight is a special night because we plan on hearing something in our spirit that the Most High put there. It could be through me or maybe one of the callers or maybe somebody on the chat line would say something that will resonate in you. So let's go ahead and invite the Most High into this blog, this topic, this conversation tonight, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, Yahweh, we want to thank you for another opportunity to come to you, to hear you, seek your face. We want to thank you for another opportunity to read your word, talk about your word, talk about what is happening on the planet, what you're doing with your people, how you have resurrected Israel, and what you are doing with this mighty nation. We thank you for the restoration of Israel. We thank you for our brothers and sisters being rediscovered. We thank you for the reconnections all over the world. And we ask that you would show us what to do and how to aid in this process. Father, make it plain to us. What is it we're to do? How is it we're able to serve in this end time move that you're doing in the earth? Help us to continue to walk with you and keep you first in our life. Bless the families of those that are listening to this blog. Bless them for their time. They're investing time into this kingdom work. Bless them tonight for their time. These things we ask in your son's name we pray. Amen. All right, people. Expect great things. And I just want to say this before I start. Please, please listen to what I'm about to say. I mean, who am I? I'm a brother. I'm just another brother in this faith. You know, and I don't know everything. Some of y'all know circles around me. But I'll tell you one thing I do know. That the Most High can and does speak through me. And He can and does speak through you. You say, you don't even know me. I don't have to know you. The Most High can and does speak through you. He's not done with you or I. If He used a donkey to speak through a donkey, surely He can use you or I. So don't underestimate me. Don't underestimate you. Don't underestimate your neighbor. The Most High speak. I have had young people who do all of the things I didn't like, had their pants down, head turned sideways, be this, be that, and every once in a while they'll say something to me that is so profound. I mean, no major preacher could say it better than some of these young people. And I've had some kids even to say some things. And I've had some people that I just had, you know, the scripture says, a righteous man's step, a righteous woman's step, is ordered of the Most High. So, what does that mean?
righteous is not so much what you do. It is a type of people. It is the people of the Most High. That is the righteous. Because righteousness is not something you can work for. I mean, you can, but you can't attain it. Not the kind of righteousness that the Most High is going to accept. He didn't accept the patriarchs in the Old Testament. Surely, he is not going to accept yours. No matter how well you keep the Shabbat and you keep the feast days and you do this and you do that, he's not going to accept your righteousness. The righteousness that he will accept has been given by way of his son, his precious son, Yeshua, Yahshua, Yahawashah, Yahawashah, all the various names and pronunciation of the son, Emmanuel, the Messiah, whatever you want to call him. His gift of righteousness, his death, and offering up innocent blood, gave and wrought a righteousness from the Father that is second to none. And those of us that believe this have been called the righteous. I'm talking to those people. Your steps are ordered of the Most High. Do not underestimate who we bring across your path. Okay? So, again, just a little encouragement there for you. If you needed it, some of y'all didn't need it. Some of you may did need it, but I've learned, do not underestimate. I'm telling you, I've seen people look powerless, but they know one person that can change their life, or they know one thing that can change your life, one concept that can change your life. So let's go ahead and read our show's description. Let's read the show's description. So I said tonight, now that many of you know the real Jews or Israelites of the Bible are vastly non-white, and you further understand this redefined not just a people, but the way we look at the Father and the Scriptures. You may ask, what next? I goes on to say, you, my friend, have an excellent opportunity to be a blessing to the true Israelites and to support this end-time move of the Most High. Scriptures have said, I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you, Genesis 12 and 3. Tonight, we discuss ways all nationalities can aid in the complete restoration of the scattered, lost 12 tribes. This support is far from just financial, but sharing with other family members, friends, and strangers this profound revelation and providing other services to those of us in this movement. Okay? And then tonight we'll also revisit and talk about the whole Messianic versus non-Messianic Israelites and Christians, how we can get along better, how we can reach our brothers and sisters better, how we can tighten up our belief system better, how we can be so, some of us, you know, right now I think you ask the average Christian that have heard or had dealings with so-called Israelites, it's not been good. Just, I'd say 70% of the so-called Christians I know have not had good relationships with people that call themselves Israelites. Okay, so we'll talk about that in a little while, and it always get heated and hot. So, I mean, not in a derogatory sense. I mean, not in a disrespectful sense, but people are very interested in that subject, and so we'll talk about that, okay? So anyway, let's start off by what we said we was going to talk about, and that is those of you that are saying, what next? What next? So what are we, Israel? What do we do? I know lots of people that feel that way. They're saying, okay, Seth, I see it. I think you're right. I think you guys have a point. I had one lady that said to me in Cincinnati, she said, because I used to call her, I used to do a little co-hosting from here and there on WCVG in Cincinnati when we lived in Cincinnati. And she was one of the callers that initially did not like me. And she said something to me one day. She said, I don't even like you. I like, because it was me and the particular host that would always get into it. And she said, I like this host better than I like you. I won't mention her name. But she said, I don't even like you. She said, but what you say is so, it's the only thing that makes sense. Don't you feel that way? It is the only thing that really makes sense as far as who so-called African Americans are, why they suffer, what they suffer. What is the solution for why they're suffering? Who the people are in Israel? Proof of that. She said, along those lines, I made more sense than anything she had ever heard. So, what next? What next? Like I said, we have one of the greatest opportunities. Our forefathers longed to see this day when Israel would begin to become a nation all over again. And I know we're far from the finished product, and some of y'all see the beginning, and the Bible says despise not small beginnings, but some of y'all have done just that. You have despised this small beginning. You can't stand us not being so disorganized. But this is what happened with anything when it's new. So we have got to understand, unless we're 18 years old and got the revelation very young, that would be rare, but it's possible. We've got to understand that there's a good chance we will probably die and not see the flourishing of this whole movement. It probably true. But we've just got to know in our hearts and in our spirits and be totally persuaded that Israel will be completely restored as a nation. Now, what does that mean? Israel will completely be restored as a nation. I think the knowledge of who we are is going to be common household name one day. But I don't believe that all of Israel is going to turn to the Most High. I don't believe that all these young people are going to one day wake up and go, wow, I'm an Israelite, and just quit doing the things they do. Remember your forefathers who were the real Israelites, who knew who they were a bunch of knuckleheads. No, serious. They were a bunch of knuckleheads. So if you think just by somebody finding out that they're an Israelite, and they're of this tribe or that tribe, they're going to all of a sudden walk away from foolishness, I don't know. I think some will. Some will want to return to their true heritage. Yes, you bet. But some will be nothing more than our forefathers in those Old Testament. But Israel will be restored. In other words, restored as far as everybody knowing who she is. And I do believe that a remnant that talks about in Romans 11:10-11, and I believe chapter 12 as well, Romans chapters 10, 11, 12, talks about, has God forsaken his people? Have the Most High forsaken his people? Is Israel done away with? And he goes on to say, the scripture goes on to say that no, he hasn't forsaken his people. Goes on to say he's going to be dealing with the natural tribe of Israel, the natural lineage of Israel. Remember the book of Revelation, the 144,000? That's Israel. That's natural bloodline Israel. The main spiritual Jews. I know the Bible talks about the spiritual Jews. Those that accept the Father are now no longer strangers to the commonwealth of Israel. But what about the 144,000? 12,000 from each tribe, 12 times 12. Come on, folks, what do you think of that? What does that mean? Who are they? So I just want to say to everybody, this nation, this movement is vital. It is vital. It is the most important thing that I can probably think of that's going on in the churches outside of people coming into a harmonious relationship with the Most High. It is brutally important, if I can make that word up. So, what do you do? You say, what do we do next? What do we do next? Well, first and foremost, I think the knowledge itself will transform many people. Everybody won't just hear this and go put Issachar or Judah on their neck and just blow it off with a T-shirt that says, we're the black Jews. Some people will be very, 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 very interested in learning how to return to their true natural state. These people is a part of that group of people in Romans 11 called the election. A remnant of them will return to Jerusalem or Jerusalem and will start a work that will usher in the Messiah. I believe that with all my heart. It is vitally important you not take anybody for granted in your life, the neighbor, the coworker, that friend. I've done it before. I've taken friends and coworkers and people for granted and dropped the ball. Don't do it. Value every single person that come across your path. You have no idea who they are. I have seen people that look like they were good for nothing. I know you probably say, how do you say somebody's not good for nothing? But you know, you see people and you just don't think much of them as far as potential. They just seem to be, maybe they're shy or maybe they're not educated. And I see them get in certain things and just become a genius. Just they have capabilities that the average person just don't have. But you never would have known it because they was out of their element. You never know what this truth is going to do. And right now, I am not just talking to Israelites. I am never, ever just talking to Israelites as far as the whole show. I mean, if I say I'm talking to Israelites right now, then yes. But for the most part, I always talk to everybody. And I'm practicing what I preach right now because I never know who I'm listening to and what they're able to do with this information. You know, I've had people too that come along and then have done some really nice things for me, offer me. I've had, just even on Blog Talk, I have people to offer money. I've had people to offer to do a website, actually websites, that's plural. I've had people to offer to do this and that and the other. And I don't even consider myself, I'm very new to this whole Blog Talk thing. And I'm not saying do it because of material things. I've had people to say, Brother Seth, I've never heard nobody share leprosy like you shared it. I've had white people to be very thankful for the message on leprosy. And you would think they would be offended by it. By the way, I'm sorry I jumped into this without telling y'all about the schedule real quickly. Let me just talk about the schedule. On Tuesday nights, we talk about how to organize the Israelites and talk about Israelites that's been scattered to the four corners. That's what we're doing tonight, talking about how we can organize better and how we get other people can support this movement. On Thursday nights, our most popular show, we talk about the One World Government. Don't miss it this week. Oh, my goodness. Don't miss it this week. But we talk about secret society, Illuminati, One World Government, what exactly is going on, really going on in our world. And we talk about spiritual warfare because without spiritual warfare, you really don't have a clue as to what's going on in our world. None of us do because it first starts in the spiritual realm. But we go off into that real deep into what's really going on. That's another midnight show. Then on Saturdays at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time, all these times at Central Standard, 11 a.m. we talk about leprosy. How all men came from one people. All people come from the dust of the earth. And we talk about what dust is, what dirt is, how it's melanin, all the properties of melanin is in dirt. And that when you lose your pigmentation, lose your dust color, or you're born without pigmentation, or you're born losing your color slowly, these two things are a type. a type of leprosy, Bible leprosy. It has nothing to do with leprosy you think of today. So we're going through that on Saturday, and the whole purpose of that is really to destroy racism. I know it sounds racist, but it's the complete opposite. It's to show you that we are all one flesh, one people, one nation. It's the complete opposite of the way it sounds. I can't help how it sounds. It sounds racist. But we just show you how vitiligo and albinism, lose your pigmentation or to be born without much pigmentation, is a curse, or it's a plague, rather. It was a plague put upon people in ancient times. Yes, to be born as an albino or vitiligo was a type of leprosy. We go into scripture showing that. You never seen nothing like it or heard nothing like it, I promise. But in the end, you will see that we're all truly one, and it's a love message. It absolutely is a love message. Okay, on Sundays, we talk about the same thing every single Sunday at 3:30 Central Standard Time, and that is, who are the real Jews? And we go into scriptures, many, many scriptures, talking about how that certain people live out these prophecies that Moses said Israel would go through forever. Moses said Israel would go through forever. Again, Moses said Israel would go through some things forever. 2011 is not the end of forever. We look for who goes through these particular prophecies, and the people go through these prophecies are nothing more than the true Israelites. Okay? You can prove it other ways, but this is the way we prove it with the scriptures. Okay? So that's our agenda. You go to Five Smooth Stones, www.blogtalkradio.com/5_smooth_stones. That's 5 smooth stones. Don't forget the underscore. And you can get our front page and you can see a list of all the things we teach. Please, 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 before I begin, finish what I was just talking about, please check out the archives. The archives has 100 times more things than I'm going to talk about tonight, because you got the archives of all the things we've done. I don't know how many shows we've done. I know it's a lot. And we've covered things that I just will not even scratch the surface on tonight. So please listen to the archives. Go to www.blogtalkradio.com, 5/5smoothstones, and just, again, don't forget the underscore, and just look at the different things. Also, click on the link with the Google link to my library and look at some of the books on these very topics. So let's go ahead and finish talking about what we were talking about, okay? So like I was saying, folks, actually, I kind of forgot what I was saying, but as I always do, I'll remember it. But one of the things that I was going to talk about next, and that is, and I'll get back to what I was talking about, but you might say, what next? Okay, so what, we're Israel? So what, we're Israel? So what? Folks, oh, I know what I'm talking about. See, I told you to come. You never know who you're talking to. And I'm talking to some of y'all because some of y'all just feel like I'm just a, this is how y'all, some of y'all think, not everybody, okay? Please, I did say not everybody. But some people feel like, well, it's just me. I'm nobody. I'm not nobody important. I mean, I'm somebody, you know, I'm not a nobody, but I'm not no real big person. I'm just average Joe Blow. That is so not true. None of us is average. In no way. It's all in our head. That's the only way we average, is really in our head. But you can hear something. You listening to me right now, you can hear something that can transform you. I mean, you can hear something. How many times you see people and you just don't recognize them, and you say, what happened? They tell you that they became born again, or they tell you that they became, you know, whatever they do, knowledge does to them. Some people change for the worse, and you don't really recognize them. I'm just saying, a person, every human being has this potential to be. I don't think we could ever do enough on this planet to show our true value. People talk about Einstein and Bill Gates and all these so-called great people, but I don't think they have scratched the surface of what they can really do. And I think we're playing games with each other, comparing ourselves to all these people. We all have potential to do great exploits, providing we hear that right thing at the right time, that right connection. Now, let's say even if you feel like, well, I'm not that person. I'm not that person. You're dreaming. I'm not that person. Sometimes you may even know somebody that you can tell the same things I'm saying to you and what you've heard over these blog shows, some of this truth, and they'll get that truth from your mouth and go and just tear up the world. I've seen it. I've seen it with my own eyes. You might not value something to go talking to somebody else and they'll get it. All I'm saying is, like I said earlier, the Bible says a righteous man steps is order of the Most High. You never know who is going to come across your steps. You never know. I never underestimate who I'm talking to. I used to like to fly, and I still do like to fly, but I used to travel when I traveled those 24 countries I've said lots of times on the show. I run across some of the most interesting people, some of which was wealthy, some of them was wealthy in knowledge, some of them was just wealthy in other ways. I ran across some of the most interesting people on our planet. And I say people can travel for 100 years, but anyway, I just feel like it was really something, okay? So I just want to say, don't underestimate the power, because what I'm getting ready to talk about is how you can support Israel. And I'm talking to those of you that call yourself Israel and those of you who don't. I'm talking to whites, I'm talking to Hispanics, talking to people from India, I'm talking from Chinese. I get all kinds of people listening. I'm saying to you that you should support this. Why? Why should you support the movement? Because, first and foremost, you believe in the Father. I'm sure you will be listening to this broadcast. And anything that the Father is doing, you know it's going to have substance to it. Only what he is doing in the earth is going to last. Everything else is just going to be burnt up. I mean, so to speak. Everything, nothing matters. Nothing matters but what we do on this planet except the things we do for the Most High. That's the only thing that's going to last. This truth is transforming so-called African Americans. For people to find out and get the reason once and for all why they was put in slave ships, for people to find out once and for all why they have went through the experiences they went through in these Americas, for people to find out why we as a nation, in a nation, behave the way we do, to the degree that now we can understand why we dislike and disrespect each other. Folks, that's valuable. I don't care if you are a white lady listening tonight. That right there is valuable. And if you value your black friends, you should value them enough to let them know why they're going through what they're going through. And you should tell your little white children the same stuff. You need to go get the Bible, your Bible with all them white images, and throw it in the trash. Go buy your Bible with no images in it, or black images in it. None of deity, but just black images in it. And you need to re-educate your children and tell them the truth. Why? Because you love them. You love your children, right? You don't want to tell them a lie, right? Because a lie, sooner or later, is going to create sin. That's why we're not supposed to deal with lies. A lie, sooner or later, is going to create sin. It's going to cause somebody to... You should quit lying to your children. You white people need to quit lying to your children. Quit living a lie. Be a part of the truth. Be a part of the winning crowd. Be a part of the winning side. We're going to win in the end. All lies is going to be sought after. Your kids are going to be angry with you, and they get to be 30, 40 years old, and they find out these things. They're going to say, Mommy, Daddy, why didn't you tell me these things? So first and foremost, not just the white people. I'm not picking on white people tonight, but I'm talking about Indians, people in India. You that know that you have people in India that's living out in Deuteronomy 28, you need to let them know you are Israel. You're one of those lost tribes because you're living out these prophecies. Some of y'all know the Bible. You're raised in church. You know what Deuteronomy 28 says, and you know that the so-called Jews over in Israel today have not went through not one single prophecy in the Bible. Not one. Not one. I know y'all say, oh, you kidding me. No, I'm not. Not one. You can't call this show and tell me one single thing that the people in Israel that call themselves Israelites or Jews have been through that's in the Bible. You can't. I've been looking for you for over 20 years. You can't do it. So we, and when I say we, I mean we the planet, we America should support this move. Some of y'all are been blessed to have some money. You're blessed to have resources. Some of y'all don't have money, but you have resources. You have things that you can donate. You need to find some Hebrew organization. Don't have to be me. I could care less. But I'm not excluding me. But I'm not. This is not no offering time tonight. I'm not trying to charge nobody for nothing. I do this for free. Going to continue to do it for free. If somebody want to give, fine. Not fine. I'm committed to this message. Been this way for over 20 years ever since I found out. But you should support Israel. Genesis 12:3 says that I bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. If you truly believe in the family of Israel, if you truly believe in God's Most High people, you believe in Israel. Some of y'all have been supporting the Jews in Israel all your life. You've always spoke out for them, sending a little money to them every month or whatever. Or you support the Pat Robinsons of the world. Or you support the John Agers of the world. Or you support the TVNs of the world. Or you support Daystars of the world. Or you support the Word Networks of the world. Or you support Jackman Anthony's of the world. Or you should support the Hilton Southerns of the world. And anybody else that's pro-Israel. You have supported Israel all your life. And now you found out that those people are not the real Jews. What next? You should continue doing what you were doing. Keep supporting. Now that you know who the real Jews are, keep supporting. Support us in your prayers. Support us in sharing this information with your children. I think you should start first with your children, you already are convinced, hopefully, that you wouldn't be listening to this blog. Share this with your children. Tell them that these people that call themselves black people, African Americans, they have been brought to America in slavery because Moses said in Deuteronomy 28:68, that Israel will be put in ships and sold as slaves if they were disobedient. Tell your little children that Israel's men, the Bible says that Israel men would not father their children because of the siege that they would be in the, or under. Siege meaning battle. There would be a battle in the homes, in so-called African-American homes against the system, and these men would be pushed out of the picture, would not be able to take care of their children. No man in a rightful mind is not going to take care of their kids. Something has to be up with that. But I also talk about how the Bible says that these people, so-called African-Americans, are the real Jews or the real Israelites because they have had wives by the thousands in another nation that come lay with these women. Slavery. Explain to them what slavery was. It was nothing more than a fulfillment of prophecy, and that's why the slave masters lay with the women. It was for prophesied that these things would happen to the Most High's people. Let them know that Bible that's sitting on that table is full of dark-skinned people. Tell your children that. Tell your children that Indians. Tell your children that Chinese. Tell your children that Japanese. Tell your children that everybody with one voice declare that the Bible is full of nappy head, lock-wearing, dark-skinned, dust-colored folk. That is the truth. Well, where does white people come from then? We cover that on Saturdays at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. It is becoming the most popular show. I am shocked at how much Europeans listen to that show. The only reason why I bring them up is because I'm saying in this show that the origin of white skin comes from albinism and vitiligo. And I use the scriptures, and whites seem to love it. some of them. I don't have too many races. You know, my computer got a few viruses when I first started talking about it. I don't know what that was about. But I got rid of those, and ever since then, I'm fine. So, folks, let's support Israel. Support the true house of David. Support Israel. Support the true house of David. Okay? I just don't know no other way to say it. We need your support. But we ain't going to beg for it, because the Most High promised that he would take care of and he would resurrect this nation. So it ain't something we got to worry about doing ourselves. He have already said he would do it. I said he have already said he would do it, and it's happening. Guess what? It's going to happen if you support it or not. It's just that you'll be blessed if you do it. You'll be blessed if you do it. He said, I will bless those that bless you. I will curse those that curse you. So if you say to yourself, you know what? This brother's right, and not just him, but all of these voices, these prophets that I see, not just on Blog Talk, they're all over the internet. They're everywhere. Why are they on the internet? Because they can't go through NBC, ABC, and CBS. Don't think we ain't afraid to go on those networks, but they ain't going to have us. We know that. So thank the Most High for the internet. It's a way, and you get a lot of kooky people out here saying a lot of kooky things. That's in every camp. But I can tell you this, there's a lot of sharp, sharp people that are talking over this net, saying profound things. So we have got to support Israel. We've got to support Israel with our money. Yes, some of y'all need to seek out people. Listen to them for a while. Get their character. Find out what they're about. Research them. And once you find them out to be people that's after the Most High's heart, fund them. Send things to them. Some of y'all are already doing it, and I'm not talking to you if you're already doing it. I'm not talking to you if you're already doing it. But I'm talking about those that's going to be listening to this archive in the future. And you know that you're not, you're funding everything else in Babylon. You're finding everything else in Babylon, but the kingdom. You're finding everything else. You got your money in all these white supremacist companies that's mistreating our people, you know, just not giving them a good shake at all, favoring white men. You got your money just sitting up in these giant corporations. You should fund the return of the true Israelites. And I don't mean the return to just Israel, return to their state of mind. You should do things to help. You don't have to give a dime to them. Just offer your services, offer your talents. You should do that. Many of you have talents. I'm talking to everybody, not no one group of people. Many of you have talent. Many of you have degrees. Many of you know people that know some people. You should be blessed by doing what the scripture says, I will bless those that bless you, I will curse those that curse you. Now, let's switch gears a little bit and let's talk about how we can better get along with our brothers and sisters that call themselves someone said, Brother Seth, my six-year-old granddaughter is sitting here listening with the Bible reading. Yes, it's late in the night, but to teach the word, it's okay to stay up. Absolutely right. Plus, they're out of school, too. So, good for you, Mama B, that you have your kids staying up listening. That's why I like Mama B. She always talks. Then they let me know what's on her mind. But, folks, listen. This is for our children. This is real. This is so real. Do y'all really think? A lot of y'all don't know me, but I really got better things to do than to sit up on this Blog Talk and talk to somebody just for the sake of hearing myself. I got friends. You know, I got people to talk to, and I can be doing so many other things. I don't get paid for this. But ever since about 20 years ago, I began to ask questions. Why do we suffer as a people? Why do we suffer as a people? Why do we go through what we go through as a people? How come other people don't go through what we go through? They ain't living no more righteous than we are. We're more forgiving than they are. We go to church more than they are. We call on the Most High more than they are. We're more humble than they are. Now, we got our issues. We do some stupid things that some of them may not do. But you cannot deny that black people, so-called African American, are the most forgiving people in America. We can bring, you can bring home a white girlfriend or wife to your mommy and daddy, and they definitely, most of our people want us to marry black folks. I know my folks do. You know, my mother did. She wanted us to marry within our own so-called race, so-called. Right? But if I didn't, but if I had a brought home a white girlfriend or white wife, she'd been fine with it. Black people have always received other ethnic people. Then we're more spiritual. We turn to the Most High more. Is anybody cursing God and telling jokes about God in there? Look at them. Most of the time, they're not black. They're not so-called black. We're the most spiritual people in this country. More forgiving. We work for the lowest wage. Yeah, the messes and rolls up and they, you know, do some things. But I'm saying still black people suffer in every area of our society worse than any other people. Mexicans are intact. They got a land, they got a nation, they got a national anthem, they got something they call home. So you can't totally oppress somebody that's got that. They can always speak in their mind, I'll just go home. I know in my home I will be accepted. So anybody that's intact got a home, a name, a land, a government, a nation song, they can't even talk to us. Why do we have it so hard? 20 years ago, I asked that question. And I asked some other questions. And those questions, and the answers to those questions is what those five answers to those five questions is the five smooth stones, is the five topics I talk about. The five topics I talk about is a result of those five questions. And those answers change my life. I did not know that America was swimming in white supremacy. I did not know that we have been miseducated. I think it's Carter G. Woodson's book wrote, it's in my library, The Miseducation of the Negro. I did not know I thought what the teachers were telling us was true. Europe is such a small dot in the ceiling compared to other nations and what they have to offer with knowledge. There is so much knowledge in Africa. There are so many achievements in Africa. I posted on my Facebook some information about Haiti. Y'all want to read the Declaration of Haiti, the Declaration of Independence. You have never read nothing like that, I guarantee you, in your whole life. It will just cause fear to grip you how strong the language is for Haiti against the French. Talking about how, you know, let them not, I mean, calling them names and just having the people to swear that the French would never enslave them again. Never have I saw anything like that, but it was such a beautiful thing because that's the way Israel, Samuel, Saul them, David them, this is how they thought. That's how a free man thinks. There's so much history out there. So all I'm saying is we've been miseducated. So the question was, why do we get to what we go through? So when the Most High began to show me this and enlighten me and gave me those five topics or those five smooth stones, I've been throwing them ever since. I'm not new to this, folks. I'm true to this. Believe that, okay? So let's talk about these non-Messianic Hebrews versus Messianic Hebrews, and let's talk about why, what's going on with that. What's going on with that? What's going on with that? How can we better get along? How can we better get along? I mean, I talked about the support aspect of the show, and I don't know nothing else to say other than support. I mean, I can't tell people what to do. I can't tell people what to give. I can just say support. People know what they have. People know what access they have. They know what friends they know. They know if they don't have it, some people are, somebody else may have it. You know, I remember when I had a little job with the airlines, and I didn't think they had the job. But there was a gentleman who actually drove out of the airport. He drove the van, the chauffeur. And one time I, you know, took this little, had him to take me to a hotel downtown where I would go and do business. And I left, when I left my job one night, and I would always go to the hotel, and that's how I would take the bus. I would, was one of those persons that didn't want to drive, so this guy was like a shuttle bus driver for us. So he would take us to the hotel, we'd take our car. But anyway, I was talking to this gentleman, and his name is Reverend Pandy. I mind giving his name because hopefully one day I'll have him on as a guest. And who would have ever thought that I had the wherewithal to bring his family from Papua New Guinea? I'm not telling his business because it's nothing to be ashamed of. I mean, the brothers have money. You can look on the internet and my Facebook and see he's not a poor man by no stretch of imagination. But he needed something, and I had it. I'm just trying to show you how sometimes you think you don't have nothing to offer, and you have a lot of resources. That's what Reverend Panda would, I'm sure, say it. But we end up, because I work for the airline, we end up getting his family, his entire family, from Papua New Guinea. His entire family came to Papua New Guinea, and I don't even want to tell y'all, you just have to go to my Facebook and look him up on there and just see how well his family have done. He had a son, and you know, Papua New Guinea is supposed to be the real, real third world. His son came to this Cincinnati, lived in a very nice neighborhood, went to a very prestigious school, and was the number one kid in the entire school, and the school was predominantly white, not that that matters, but it was. And this kid, when you walk in that school, you, the first picture you see was of this particular kid. He was the number one kid in his grade. The other girls that I brought, his sisters, were smart like that, but not, they weren't top, you know, as far as number one in the school, but all of them did very well. All of them did very well. I mean, it's like a, it's like if I told you the details, you would say, oh, that ain't true. Because they did so well, but in Papua New Guinea, they really value education. They can't wait to get to America to, you know, study at our universities, blah, blah, blah. They came and did very well. Now, it's all because I caught that bus, talked with this gentleman, this little van, I caught the little van. I engaged him, was nice to him, we shared. He shared a need with me, being led of the Spirit. And I of the Spirit saw a need. I said, you know what? Maybe I can help you. So, and what happened is, I actually got a car out of the deal. He had a car he wanted to sell, and I was in the market for a car. And we just did a swap. Not a dime was exchanged. His family got to come, and they are doing well. I got to get a, got a really nice car out of the deal. I mean, nice car. Not no old raggedy clunker with all kind of problems. A nice car. See how that, what I, that's what I mean. Some of y'all are listening, you might say, oh, I don't have this, I don't have that. I don't have this, I don't have that. But what happened was, some of the time when you think you just don't have much to give, you have something. And it'll be something that you don't even think much about. You know, this summer I had a friend one time, and I'm just sharing how we're valuable, how we're resourceful, how we're powerful. That's what I'm talking about tonight. How can you support the cause? How can you support this cause of furthering the revelation of who the true Israelites are? In previous episodes on different shows, I've talked about why it's important that the world know who Israel is. Some of y'all still don't know that yet. But Israel is a type of cause. Nothing in the Bible, the whole Bible is put on pause if we look at the wrong Israel. If we look at the wrong Israel, no prophecies in the Bible, Bible prophecies cannot be fulfilled with the wrong Israel being acknowledged by the world. If the world is supporting the wrong Israel, prophecy can't be fulfilled. It just can't. It just can't. Some things will happen, but I mean, Israel, certain things supposed to happen in Israel. One of them is the so-called Israelites are supposed to return. The scripture said they would return from all four corners, not just from Europe. Israel is too white to be the true tribe, the true Israelite. So that's one reason it's important. Another reason it's important, so-called African Americans don't understand why they are going through what they're going through. And once they find out they're Israelites and that everything about them as a nation, not individual folk doing crazy stuff, anything so-called African Americans do as a nation, a pattern, a trend that we do as a collective people that we've been doing for years and years and years, it's biblical. It's in the Bible. The Bible is the culture of so-called African Americans. People say, "Well, I don't believe that. That's crazy." I've been doing this for over 20 years. You name something we go through as a people, that we do as a people, I will be the one to show you in the scriptures. You have the phone number. We have a phone number. You don't have to just sit there. You can call the phone number. If you're listening to us on the archive, not a problem. Next show, call in, say, "Brother Seth, I want to challenge you on something. You said that whatever so-called black people go through, whatever they do, and they keep doing it over and over and over as a nation, it's in the Bible." One lady actually did. "What about these young boys standing on street corners?" I said, "Yes, that's in the Bible." I talked about Isaiah 51 and 20, where it talks about their young men. Isaiah was saying, "Your young men have fainted. Your young men have fainted. They lie at the head of all the streets. They lie at the head of all the streets. As wild bulls in nets. Your young men have fainted. They lie at the head of all the streets." Let me repeat. "Your young men have fainted. They lie at the head of all the streets. As wild bulls in nets." If they lie, that means they're not moving, they're not going nowhere. Lie just means they're hanging around. Because it can't mean lying down like lying down, because it's like they said, the scripture said they're like a wild bull. They're wild, that's a lot of movement. And then number two, a bull, that's strong strength. That's one of the strongest animals on the planet. So it can't mean they lying down like lying on the couch. It just means they ain't moving, they ain't going nowhere. They have to let them corners, head of the corners. And they're wild, and they're like bulls, and they're in nets. But then it goes on, the crusher part of the scripture says, they are full of the fury of God, or the fury of Yahweh. What? They are full of fury, anger. But it said it's the anger of God. I couldn't understand that one, because I'm like, they are so anti-God. They ain't got nothing to do with them guys out on these street corners. But if you think about it, the Most High is judging us through our youth. He is judging us through our youth. The last part of the scripture says, the rebuke of thy God. Here goes the whole scripture. Your young men have fainted. They lie at the head of all the streets. As wild bulls in nets. They are full of the fury of God, the rebuke of thy God. Isaiah 51 and 20. When I shared that with people, they'd be like, "Wow." There's another scripture that said, "Blood touches blood." Everything we go through, blood touches blood, is nothing more than black on black crime. When you're killing your own kind, blood touches blood. Habakkuk talks about how there's violence. He's arguing with the Most High, saying, "Why do you show me all this violence? Violence are before me." He's complaining. Folks, we are Israel. It's just that simple. I know it sounds crazy, ludicrous, foolish to some of y'all, because everybody listening is not a Hebrew Israelite. I understand that. So I have got to go say these things. Those of you that are, just be patient with me, okay? But anyway, that's another reason it's important. So so-called black people can understand why they behave the way they behave, why they're going through what they're going through, because if your mama whip you and you don't know why, you'll always hold bitterness against her or your father. You'll always hate them. If they're whipping you and you don't know why, but if you as a child knew why you was getting the whipping, even though it hurt like I don't know what, you can forgive your mom. You cannot. You probably know, may never hold them against them because you know you brought it on yourself. This revelation helps so-called African Americans understand why they go through what they go through, why they disrespect, and why we don't respect each other, because we see the state of our people. We just don't have hope for our people. We don't believe in our people, our intellect. So we've been brainwashed by white supremacy. They've been telling us all the things we, you know, can, cannot do. Many of us have excelled past that, but because we didn't take the spirit with us, we're just a bunch of rich fools. We still have the same self-hate. Moving right along, another reason this is important is because the word of the Most High is in danger. The word is contradicting itself with the false Israel in place. As long as you acknowledge the Israel in the Holy Land, the so-called Jews in the Holy Land, the Bible is going to contradict itself. It's not going to make sense because those people are the wrong fit. You're going to look at it and start making all these excuses. Well, they really in their homeland. 1948, they became a nation. You got to make up all this stuff. 1948, they did not come a nation God's way. And that's why there's unrest. And I say God because we got a little bit of everybody listening. The name is not God. But I'm just saying, the reason there's unrest in the Middle East is because those people are not the right fit. They're impossible. They're who the Most High brought as a punishment against the people. Another reason it's important is because white people can now be set free from feeling this guilt of feeling they enslaved us. It also creates a kind of arrogance with them, thinking that they are responsible for our complete state. If you feel like you're the one that did this to us, you're going to be very, very, very arrogant, and you look very, very, very powerful to our young people and to some of our old people, too. You look like you're Superman if you did all this to one people. They could not have done the things they've done to us except the Most High was with them. It's just that simple. There'll be no peace in the Middle East without this revelation. That's another reason it's important. The Gaza Strip will never see no peace because the Gaza Strip, them Palestinians are going to concentrate this land as ours, and the Israelis are going to concentrate this land as ours, and they're going to fight till forever until the truth that, when the truth becomes as common as a household name, that neither one of them are the true Jews. They're victims of the Crusaders, the widening up of that area from the Crusades, and that neither one of them are authentic Israel. It would be kind of embarrassed to fight over something that's not yours, and that would kind of cause them to kind of, I just believe once the truth is known among all nations, who we are, you ain't got to worry about the Palestinian and Israeli conflict. It's going to iron out itself. How can you be the president of something that everybody in the whole world knows you're not it? It's going to make way and soften up that regime to allow the natural suit to come in, not to mention the nations of the world pressuring Israel to do just that. Another reason it's important, last reason I'll say, why is this important? Hitting that for a second. Is the nations of the world do not respect so-called African Americans. They are a joke to them. They always have been. We always have been. But once they find out that the reason we have been behaving the way we've been behaving is because the Most High come against us, he said, I will come against you. Amos 3 and 2 say, of all the nations of the earth, you have I known. Therefore, I will punish you for all your transgressions. Many scriptures talk that language. The Most High saying, you're the apple of my eye. You're my people, my people. And that's why we suffer so much because he did so much for Israel that he didn't do for all the other nations. Israel's supposed to have it better than everybody else if they obey, worse than everybody else if they disobey. That's how you know who is a true Jew. It's just that simple. So the nations of the world, once they find out who we are as a people, they will seek to be blessed because they know about Genesis 12 and 3. Believe that. People know about Genesis 12 and 3. They know that the Most High said, I'll bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. And they want to be blessed. I'm telling you. Just look at how much sympathy this nation of Israel get today. Don't call Israelites. Don't call Jews. Look how much people just sympathize. And they're acting like straight-up demons. If they can get that much love from the nations of the world, I know a lot of nations don't like them, but and they got a lot of reasons, too. It's really normal to hate them because of what they've done. And I'm not hating on them as far as people. I love the people of Israel. I do mean that. But I'm saying if you look at what they do, it would be a temptation to hate them, to go in there and kill up all those Palestinians and say, God, dude, this is our land. Naturally, you're going to dislike somebody like that. That's what I'm trying to say. But even in all of their foolishness and the America government having all of the lobbyists, I've got this book, and I got to put this on my library, but there is this book talking about our foreign policy and the lobbyists on Capitol Hill that Israel has. It will, even if you're not interested in politics, even if you have, if you hate politics, you will want to read this book to know how much we went overboard trying to force this nation and take care of them, their welfare state. At one point, I think one penny out of every $2 or something would go towards Israel. And it's such a welfare state. Now they've got muscles and strength, and they can hold their own. A lot of technology is being invented there and so forth. But the truth of the matter is, we help process. We help build those people. So anyway, I feel like the nations of the world, just like they've had mercy upon that nation, they love Israel because they felt like this was the God's chosen. When they find out, when the world find out that Israel is vastly non-white, and when they listen to the brother Seth of the world and all the other people, the thousands and thousands of voices out there saying what I'm saying, that this Bible, from Genesis to maps, is full of nothing but dust-colored people, and that white skin only appeared as a result of a curse. Again, that's taught on Saturdays, 11 o'clock Central Standard Time. We don't preach hatred. The Bible said whatsoever is not done out of love is a sin. By smooth stone, we don't engage in no kind of hatred for nobody anytime. If we're coming at you and it sounds like it, you keep listening. We're just simply showing how in that garden there was two people. Everybody come from the two people. As a matter of fact, I teach on Saturdays that I too am white. Everybody's white. Everybody's white. Look at people that have vitiligo. They have brown skin. All of a sudden, the brown skin disappear. What's up under that brown skin? Your Honor, I rest my case. So, let's talk about this messianic, non-messianic. What is this going on with the Israelites? Why is it we cannot get along? Well, I can't. You know what? I take that back. Because actually on Facebook, I have over 1,000 friends. And many people are getting along. Lots of relationships are built, new friendships, and a lot of people are talking with Christians, and a lot of Messianic people are talking with non-Messianic. I apologize for that. Sometimes I get overwhelmed, emotional, and I say things I don't mean to say, but that is not true. But there is some camps that have issues with so-called Messianic. Messianic means we believe in the Messiah. Some people don't believe in the Messiah, that he came at all. And some people believe that he existed, that his name wasn't Jesus, because there's no J in Hebrew. And those of us that believe in the Messiah, let's talk about them for a second. Those of us that believe in the Messiah, and we know that his name didn't start with a J, it didn't have a J. we should be able to squash, I'm talking to the Messianic Hebrews right now, those that believe in the Messiah. If somebody believes in Jesus, somebody else say, no, I don't call him Jesus. Oh, no, that's that Greco-Roman. No, the Greeks put that in the Bible and they go into the whole history, okay? Somebody else say, no. Well, yeah, you're right. His name was Yahawashah, or his name was Yahshua, or Yeshua, all these variations, okay? To me, that is the easiest argument to squash out of all of the different arguments, because we know that he existed. Ain't that good enough that he came? Again, like I said last week, your grandmother and great-great-grandmother and great-great-grandfather, they were not praying to no Greco-Roman God, a deity, or Elohim. We know that the New Testament, the Most High commanded us not to even utter the name of a foreign Elohim, a God. We know that. I say the name Jesus. For one, people ain't going to know what I'm talking about unless I say it. But two, the prophet said the name Baal. They said out of their own mouth. B-A-A-L. They said it. Now, you think they're going to disobey the Most High when he said don't call on the name? When the Most High said don't utter the name, it just means don't have anything to do with it in terms of uttering it for worship. But if you uttering it to help your brother, or if you uttering it to expose, and I'm not trying to say Christ is like Baal, Jesus is like Baal. No, please don't go there with me. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is if those of y'all that believe is so strong that you won't even utter the name. I know some Israelites that won't even utter the name Jesus Christ. They won't even say it. They'll say JC or they'll say anything else. Here's my thing to you. Did a man exist that walked the waters, healed the sick, raised the dead, died for our sins? Why come we just can't call him the Messiah and be done with it and get along with your brother and we go building bigger walls, higher fences against the enemy? We'll sit up here and argue over this. What was the proper name? I had somebody say to me, and I'm not going to call their name now, but they run a blog. They have a blog show. And they said that this other organization that have a blog show on Blog Talk Radio would not do business with him because he called the name wrong. That is what I just, that just, y'all don't know what that did to me. That just really, that goes to show you that you don't went from the church being religious and you jumped into the Hebrewism and you just still religious. Your heart ain't right. And I question if these people are really truly sheep. Let me say this. We really should just say the Messiah. You know what I mean. I know what you mean. We both talking about marriage, baby. We both talking about the Lamb of the Most High. We both talking about the one that ascended unto the Father. And he said, sit here on my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Why can we can't squash it and be done with it? To me, that is the easiest argument in the camp squash. Now, the camp between the Messianic Hebrews and the non-Messianic Hebrews, that's a little different. That's a little different. Okay, now what was in here? What was it? Okay. Sound keeps stopping. Is there no sound? Can y'all hear me? If anybody can hear me, type in the chat room right now. I can hear you. Please do it right now. Please, anyone, just say, I can hear you. That way, otherwise, I'm going to have to call back. Again, if you can't hear me, please say so. Otherwise, I'm going to hang up right now and call the show back. This happens sometime. I apologize. Okay, sorry about that. So can everybody hear me now? I just hung up and called back. Okay. All right. Sorry about that. But whenever I, yeah, sorry about that. But anyway, what was I saying when we were disconnected? I want to make sure I didn't miss anything. Anybody know what I was saying? I don't know quite when the sound went out, but I do apologize. This is technology. We got to be patient with it. But I don't want to rewind myself too far. So does anybody know what I was saying before I got disconnected or sound started to get muffled or whatever? So if nobody responds, I'll just go ahead and rewind. Anyway, like I was saying, I just for the sake of me, I just don't understand why we let names like the name of the Father. What you approach the Father when you pray, what I approach the Father when I pray, why does that divide you and me? Why come, you know, you just can't call him what you call him and I call him what I call him? Why can't we just call him the Father? We know who you're talking about. Why can't I just call him the Almighty? We know who you're talking about. You know, and I, you know, and this is true even in the Muslim circles, you know, why is it that if I say, when I see a Muslim, what's up, man, peace, they look at you a little funny because they're going to say, assalamu alaikum, and you got to respond, wa alaikum salam. If you saying peace to me and I'm saying peace back under you or whatever, why do we have to speak in Arabic for the first 30 seconds or 15 seconds or 10 seconds, however long it takes to say that, or else you're going to reject me? This is nothing more than religious, folks. This is just religious folk, I'm telling you. People that stuck on this stuff, run from them. Run. There's something wrong with these people, man. I mean, serious. You should be trying to find ways to get along with your brother. We have so many more things to talk about, so many more things to build, so many more businesses to set up, so many more parts of the Bible. What about the Apocrypha? We got to discuss books that's not into the Bible. We got to set up councils, and we got to set up organizations, and we got to set up businesses. We got to set up ways to help our children grow in this knowledge. Even if, you know, if we can't agree with our Islamic brothers and sisters or whatever, there's a lot of things we do agree with. Farrakhan is the most famous, my favorite person as far as talking about the plight of black men. He is number one in my book, and he's not even of my so-called faith. So we got to learn how to help each other where we can help each other, and where we can't, we just kind of say, well, let's talk about that a little later on. What can we work on? Why when we meet, we always start talking about the things we disagree with first. I think when you first meet someone and y'all don't agree on some, I don't even think you should meet talking about what you disagree with. You should first say, well, my name is such and such, what's your name, okay? Where are you from? And then find something you have in common, maybe two or three or four things, and talk about that for a while, maybe your whole first meeting. Then the second time y'all meet, then talk about your disagreements. Because what happens is it becomes like they say, I hate to say this, but it becomes like a pissing contest, especially with men. You know, they sit around, they start talking about what you know, what you don't know, you know. And then one guy is obviously going to be wrong. Somebody's going to come in and out on the short and the stick of the other brother's going to be smarter, the other sister's going to be smarter, and their egos is going to get them in trouble. They're going to say some or do something, and that's how we don't grow, folks, I'm telling you. And we cannot afford this, especially with this movement. We cannot afford this. This movement is vital, vital, vital. It's vital, vital, vital. Black people have never heard something to me as strong as the Hebrew revelation. I know people say, I don't know about that, brother. There's Egyptologists out there. There's a lot of different beliefs out there. I don't know about this. Listen, no. These Egyptians, Egyptologists, much respect as I have, because, you know, like my one friend say in Cincinnati, she says, well, you know what, when y'all talk about Hebrewism, y'all don't go back further enough. She says, this thing goes back way past Abraham. And I was like, well, that's true. But just because you talk to somebody's five grandmothers ago, or your great 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 grandmother told you something that was true, that don't mean that your grandmother ain't true with what the things she say. I'm gonna say it again. Just because somebody talked with a grandfather or grandmother five great 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 grandmothers ago, that don't mean that your grandmother is not writing the things that she say. Just because you go back thousands of years ago, that don't mean, matter of fact, the more you go back, the more probability it is that you might have gotten the wrong information. You got to trust a whole lot of white supremacists going back that far. You got to trust a whole lot of people. But now if you go back one grandmother, your grandmother, your mother's mother, or your mother's father, most likely you're going to get truth because that wasn't that long ago. Furthermore, we live out the scriptures. We literally live out the scriptures. Now, I don't care what you say. I have never read nothing in Egyptology, and I'm not putting down the teachings of Seth, Isis, and all of the Egyptian gods and what they brought to the table. And I know there's been a lot of lies told them. There's a lot of rich history in Egyptology. I really wish that I had a master's degree in it. It is a key to a lot of things. But just because the sun and the 12 constellations, and that don't negate the 12 disciples and the S-O-N versus the S-U-N. Just because there were 16 crucified saviors, that don't negate that one of them is real. I mean, folks just think that sometimes I just wonder, really and truly, what do people think? Do they think we're crazy? I mean, I don't know. Like I say, when you meet these people, let's start trying to find out personal things about them. What do you like? What's your favorite color? What do you shop at? What your kids like? What school do your kids go to? Blah 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 blah. We should do this. Let's find out things like that. So, folks, there you have it. I mean, I don't know what to say. I feel like sometimes that we just thrive on being different. We just thrive on fighting. It's like we got to get out of that. We got a lot of work to do. My goodness, we got a lot of work to do. And it's going to be very hard unless we start dealing with each other in a completely different way. And folks, my computer's acting up. Somebody don't like what I said. This happened. But you know what? I got more than one computer now, so I can't see the chat room right now for some reason. But you know what? It won't be but a second. I will be able to see it because I have ways. Anyway, I just want to just say us and encourage us as a people, as a nation, so let's really sit down and iron out these differences. Let's find ways to get along with the churches. You know, the church has been there. You know, I right now I can't stand a lot of churches. I ain't gonna lie. I have a lot of. I'm just disappointed in the church as a whole, as a unit, but not in the maker or the creator or the father at all. But even though I have all these issues against the church, y'all got to be very honest about something. The church have been there in a lot of ways for black people. If you think it ain't this and it ain't that, try subtracting it from our society and see how worse it would be. If you think I listened to Creflo the other day, and I can't stand Creflo Dollar. But I was listening the other day, and I got to thinking how many people have actually been persuaded to start to believe that they can prosper and not be poor. How many people that were buying this lie that they're poor and they're never going to have none, and they're at the bottom and not they're the bottom of society, the white man holding them back. How many people that Creflo and his church have preached to where they come out of that mindset. You got to give that boy some credit, that man some credit, in getting those people elevated from that state. And my beef with him was this thing that, you know, everybody is supposed to be millionaires. But the truth of the matter is, he might not even believe that no more. He might not even believe that no more. Serious. So, even looking at Creflo and Jakes, you know, y'all, I mean, let's be real. We were upset with a lot of these people using the limelight to try to produce movies and try to be the jack of all trades and all these things and really just working their name. The church helped build their name, then they turn around and take their name and go and be wealthy. And then somebody said, well, they got the right to do that. They can do what they want to with their money, blah, 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 blah. Okay. But, you know, some of us understand the behind the workings, the dealings of it, that it takes to be in ministry. Some of us know what goes on in that back office. I've been privy to it for a very long time, and I know that a lot of this stuff ain't God. It's just good marketing. So I've had my beef with the church, but one thing you got to say about the Potter's House, a lot of people have prospered listening to this brother. A lot of people. Lots of people have benefited listening and attending the Potter's House, attending a lot of these churches, whatever church you think you got issues against, just look at the good fruit that is coming out of it. Okay, they might not acknowledge Israel, and that's major. That's major. That's major. But if the people is getting something, wouldn't you rather your relatives get something? If you try to subtract the church, some of y'all talk like y'all want these churches destroyed and burned down. Even if they do get, let's just go here. Let's go there. What if they do get wealthy from your grandmother's and the aunts and uncles' money? Let's say they do get wealthy. Some of y'all grandmothers and aunts, no disrespect to them, but they were going to play the lotto anyway. A lot of them put their money on foolishness anyway. Why not support some big organization that has a black face on it? It's not a white organization, at least. Most of them are not. They are putting black people to work. They are allowing black people to travel across the country. Maybe they are building up their name. So what? I'm saying there is some good. Let's be wise. Don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. And for real, some of y'all got off drugs in a lot of these churches. Some of y'all gave up greed in a lot of churches. Some of y'all gave up being haughty and proudful and jealous and lying. Some of y'all got yourself together in some of these churches that still say Jesus, and you all of a sudden is too good to even utter the name. Please. When our parents and kinfolk say Jesus, they don't know nothing about no great old Roman, nothing. They're calling on the Messiah of the Bible. You know that, and I know that, and you cannot put that on them. You, my friend, have a haughty attitude. If you think that, and I mean that, that's from brother to brother or brother to sister. If y'all think these churches is calling on a false god, you're crazy. They may be calling by the wrong name. Okay, you might have some points there. But the name, as I keep talking about this every single week I talk about this, the name has nothing to do with what you call them when you look at somebody. The name, look up the word N-A-M-E in the Strong's Concordance. It means character and authority. Character and authority. Character and authority. Whatever character comes with that person, whatever their character is like, and whatever authority they operate in, you have authority. You listen to me right now. You have authority. Maybe you're an employee. You certain keys, you got the certain rooms. That's an authority. Your parent, your children, certain authority you have with your children, certain authority you have with your brothers and sisters, certain authority you have with your husband. There's a certain authority come with you, your name, okay, or who you are and your character. That is your true N-A-M-E, your character and your authority, your character and your authority. Now, how can somebody pray in Jesus' name if they don't have a vocal cord? See, it don't make sense. What about when the disciples was beating the book of Acts and they said, didn't we tell you not to preach no more in this name? How do you preach in the name of Jesus, as the book of Acts said? See, that's not what they want. in and their prayer with in the name of Jesus we preach. You can't preach. You can't. It's going to sound silly. When they say don't preach in his name, it means don't preach about this person. Some of y'all don't get that. But anyway, all I'm saying is that we need to find ways to try to get along with Christians. Find ways. Understand that our grandmothers, and they are not calling on the name of a foreign god. Quit saying that. That is the craziest thing we say as Israelites. That is just, that burns me up. And by the way, I'm dealing with this subject in depth on Sunday. Next Sunday, I deal with this at 3:30 Eastern Standard Time. Some of y'all just now signing on to the chat room, but if you go to blogtalkradio.com/5_smooth_stones, 5 smooth stones, click on Sunday's broadcast and get a reminder sent to you. You can get a reminder for the show. And by the way, follow us, people. Follow us, because I'm telling you, I don't know if I'm the fastest person. What is it? They told me they couldn't tell you. They don't have to tell you in Blog Talk Radio at the office how you're doing. They don't want to get into whether or not your show is doing better than this show. But they did tell me that the numbers was very good. And I've looked around because I want to know how I'm doing. I mean, it's hard to tell because some of the stuff is private. But I'm telling you, people are really interested in these 5 smooth subjects, or 5 smooth stones. And so we're trying to unite the house of Israel. The church is a powerful institution. I just pray that the Most High will forgive me for the things I've said over the years about the church. I still don't like most churches. They still turn my stomach. Because I see game. I see nothing more than the pimps that I see on the street. I know game when I see game. Game recognized game. I know it because I used to do it. I mean, you know, I mean, not in church, but I recognize game. I recognize when people are building their own names and their own, temples, and they're calling it God. I understand that gospel, preaching the gospel is a business. I understand winning souls is a business. How can it be a business? It is a business. Even testimonies, good testimonies. Don't y'all know that there's some religious broadcasting, and I'm not going to call no names out, but there's Christian television broadcast stations that their leaders may not necessarily be walking the way they should walk, but if they put somebody on that TV camera, you to see, who have a real relationship with the Most High, and they got a real miracle, and they have a real walk with the Most High, don't you know it has power? That testimony still has power. You still going to send your money in because you know that what you just heard was a shown up testimony. But the person that's pimping that person, you say, they ain't pimping them. That's God's child. That's the Most High's child. Yeah. And the Most High people can be pimped. Your testimony can be pimped. People can pimp your testimony. There are people that have no God. Let's go to some real false prophets. There are people that have no power, for real. I mean, they don't even serve the Most High. But they get people to believe they have power with fake miracles. And so people see these fake miracles so much at these services, they go in there believing that the power of the Most High is truly there. So when this man calls them out, which he done read off some kind of card or something, found out some kind of way he know who they are, either through their license plate of the car in the parking lot, trust me, this is a real deal, folks. I can call names out. I told you I know a lot of these people. I don't know them like friends, but I know what they're doing. This is why I can't stomach a lot of people in churches. But anyway, they call these people out, and they give them a word. And these people think they really heard from the Most High. And they have so much faith in the Most High. They feel like if you touch me, Mr. Reverend so-and-so, the Most High is going to touch my body. And guess what? According to the scriptures, the Most High is obligated to heal them because they have fulfilled the scripture that says, if you pray in faith, believing, you shall receive. And the guy that touched them don't have no more salvation than that frog about to leap. Believe that. I know what I'm talking about. I've seen these folks. I've seen the games. Trust me on that. My mother raised us in church, Pentecostal City, and we went to church every single day. From the time we were like 7 years old, probably, I don't know when we stopped exactly. I think it was around 12 or 13. I'm telling you, folks, I saw some stuff in church y'all just would not believe. People will pimp the gospel. People will pimp good testimony. And everything you see phony, remember, there's a real somewhere around. So know that. Know that. So while y'all trying to write off the whole church, some of y'all, you're going to get yourself in trouble. You can't write off the Most High. He has people. He said, let the wheat and the tares grow together. I will separate. I will separate. You can't go trying to separate these folks. Let the wheat and the tares grow together. Let the wheat and the tares grow together. Let the wicked and the righteous go to church together. Let the wicked and the righteous go to church together. I will separate. I will separate. So there you have it. I can't stand the modern day church. Can't stand it. Can't stand it. But I'm telling you, a lot of them, most of them are giving our people something. And it's better they have something than they wind up with nothing. Now, truth of the matter is, I'll tell you, this is a rough subject here. Some of you might argue, brother said, how can you say that they getting something out of it? They are. Some of our people are so lonely. And when they go to churches and see Sister Mary and Sister Deborah and they ain't seen each other, that fulfills a need inside of them. Here's what you get in churches that are not fake churches. I'm talking about fake, show enough, off the mark. This is what you get. If you're lonely, you get friends. And some of these people are very good friends, okay? You get to see people lift their hands to a Elohim or God that they have never seen. That does something to your spirit to see all of these people gathered in this temple to worship this being that they never seen. That does something for you. You can't get that no other place. And the Bible does say, if any two gather in the midst, I'll be there. Yes, that's true. But if you see 300 people with their hands up crying out, that does something. Here's another thing you get, something called corporate anointing. I know y'all been saying, what in the world is corporate anointing? When you get all them people in there and they're all praying one prayer, the Bible, that's another scripture they don't tap into. It says, one shall put 1,000 to flight, two shall put 10,000. The more people agree on one particular thing in prayer, that is a powerful prayer. That's a corporate. Folks, I'm telling y'all, this is something strong. The Bible said when we bind the thing upon the earth, it's bound in heaven. You get a church agreeing on one thing, that's something. You can't. You know, if you say, well, if I'm me and my two people that I have Bible study with, we agree, that's powerful too. Yeah, it is, but one of them might like you. One of them might be just, you know, trying to be heard. See, when you have these little small Bible studies, you have to be careful. Because how you really know, like one time I was having these Bible studies, right? And I'm thinking we really good getting somewhere. We studying the Bible. And I found out everybody there liked me. Literally, it was four of us, three women and myself. I really thought these people were studying the Bible. I found out all three of them was trying to marry me. This is when I was single. I hope they're not listening, but if they are, they know it's the truth. So I'm saying it's best to just go to an assembly. So I'm just saying there's a lot of things that the church offers. I mean, a lot of things that the church offers. Sometimes you need the little compliment. Sister Betty, you look nice in your suit. Because maybe nobody else is going to tell you. And sometimes you need brothers. And sometimes you need to see families together sitting on the road in front of you. And, you know, all of you see the kids grow up and they learning about the Most High. Because the church do provide education to some degree. It's just they don't get into weighty matters like the Hebrew question and such. But you can't throw them out. You can't throw out everything them folks teaching. Just because they don't acknowledge who Israel is. Like I said earlier, some of y'all got saved or some of y'all got delivered, or which means, when I say delivered, I mean you've been set free from addictions and bondages and stress and suicide. And some of y'all was on death row. And there are a lot of serious testimonies out there. How can you throw away the baby with the bathwater? What are we talking about tonight on Five Smooth Songs here at Five Smooth Songs? We're talking about, as Hebrew Israelites, this broadcast, this blog is called the Federation, which means uniting, of international Israelites. This message is for Israelites scattered out the four corners. We're talking about how we can get along better with each other, how we can break up this discord. It's not, I don't think it's major. Don't even think it is. I don't think it is. Between those that believe in the Messiah and those that don't. It is vital. And I have just one question I've asked this over and over and over. Well, yeah, over and over and over. If you don't believe in the Messiah, and you say he didn't come, like the so-called Jews in Israel today, got a question for you. How are you praying? How do you pray? Don't you know that if you're living under Levitical laws, that you just can't go to the Most High, what priest are you going through, and where do y'all slaughter your lambs and goats at? What, my friend, are you doing for your sin? You just can't say, if Moses and the patriarchs had to offer, if Job, who was a perfect man, had to offer up sacrifices for his sins, why do y'all think, because y'all keep the Sabbath and the feast days, and you know how to call the Most High by his official Hebrew annunciation, why do you think you're justified by that? And we live in America, most of y'all live in America, which means you probably looked at 50 people get killed today on movies. We have a decadent society. Almost everything we do is perverted. We got our kids going to babysitters. They won't know nothing about who they are, what kind of spirits they got. We got something called public schools where our kids go and mingle with other spirits. We're all up in the bed with mass production companies that mass produce things, destroying the ozone layer, destroying our earth. We got foods that's engineered. Folks, come on. We living for the weekend, alcohol, entertainment, drugs. I'm talking about prescription drugs. I mean, we live in a debt. What makes you think in your little righteousness, all of a sudden you can talk to the Most High? You don't have, you need something to wipe away your sins if you don't believe in the Most High, if you don't believe in the Messiah. I just don't understand it. Y'all got to help me. Maybe y'all know something I don't know. Maybe some of y'all some sharp people, and you're going to put something on Brother Seth's mind, and that's something I ain't thought about, but I just don't get it. What are you going to do with your sin? And I don't mean no disrespect. I'm sure you got something to tell me. I'm sure you got something I never heard of. But I hope you don't come in with the 16 crucified Savior and Egyptology. You can still try. I'll listen. I'll let you have a flow. I'll let you do multiple talking. I'll listen. I'm one brother that will listen to you. But in the end, I'm going to ask you, so what are you going to do with your sin? What are you going to do with your sin? My. But I want y'all to know I love y'all. I love every single one of you, and I love what the Most High is doing with us as a people. I'm excited. I don't know about y'all. I really am excited. I think for the first time in our lives, we finally understand why we as a people have went through what we went through. We're living out the scriptures. We're living out the scriptures. That's what I have to say to my Egyptologist friend. We're living out the scriptures. Show me anything in Egyptology where it can predict what a people will go through, the slave ships, our sons not fathering their children, as Deuteronomy talk about. Isaiah 51 talking about the young men on the corner, 51 and 20. You know, one scripture in Deuteronomy 28 and in Psalms says, The Most High said, you have made us a byword, a proverb, a shaking of the head among the nations, a byword, a proverb. You have made us, Most High, a byword, a proverb, a shaking of the head among the nations. Who can say that? One scripture says, Israel said it within herself, see if there be any sorrow like unto mine. See if there be any sorrow like unto mine. How many times our grandmothers say that, they may say it a little way. in another way. Don't nobody go through more SHIT than black folks. Or don't nobody go through more hell than black folks. They got their own little ways of saying stuff, but they still saying the same verse. See if they're being in sorrow like unto mine. See if they're being in sorrow like unto mine. If anybody can top our sorrow, there is nothing more. They are nothing more than one of them other 11 lost tribes. Our life, our history, our heritage is right there in that book laying on your coffee table. We are Israel all day long. We're the people of the book, folks. We're the people of the book. So some of y'all join me a little later on, but earlier I was talking about how can whites, blacks, Indians, Chinese aid us in this movement. We ain't going to beg you for nothing. We not even going to wait on you. We're going to do our own thing, whether you come or not. We're going to invite you to support, not just monetarily. I said the first line of support earlier was to tell your children. That's how I know you're really supported. You can tell your little white children, your little Chinese children, your little Japanese children, your little Indian children, that Israel has been scattered to the four corners. They are vastly dark-skinned. This Bible is full of dark-skinned people. Tell your little kids that. Literally, like y'all don't take, like especially you Europeans. Y'all have taken this Bible, and you put a lot of pictures in it, white pictures. You know what you need to do? Go find you a lot of black pictures and tell them that David looked like, may have looked like Denzel Washington. You know, Solomon could have very well looked like LeBron James, just a little shorter. I mean, do that. You owe Israel that. If you want to call yourself righteous and you say, I understand, I believe, you know, I think there's some truth to what you're saying, brother. Okay, show me. Now, folks, those of you listening online at 2 o'clock in about 1 minute, 60 seconds, we're going to be disconnected. I applaud you. Please call the, ask you to please call the line and you can continue listening. Otherwise, you're going to be disconnected in like 15 seconds. But thank you for listening if you can't continue. But we're going to go another 15 minutes, okay? Another 15 minutes. So those of you on the phone line, you won't be disconnected, but those that's on the internet will be, and all this will be archived. So anyway, I say to the white brothers and sisters out there, white brothers and sisters, because I believe we are one family, you should tell your children the truth. You should tell your children the truth. Get out black images. If you really are for this truth and you want to support us like you supported the people over in Israel, that you say, you used to say with the real Jews, now you found out the truth, you should take your children just like you poisoned their mind, not intentionally. I'm not going to blame it. I'm not going to put you. Don't say this about you. You didn't do it intentionally. You did it ignorantly. Now that you know, and ignorant means just to not know, now that you've found out the truth, you should take black images and say Solomon was dark-skinned. Because he said, I'm black but comely. Christ had hair like lamb's wool. Tell your kids that. You know, Christ had hair like lamb's wool, just like black people. Yeah, his hair was like that, honey. Tell them. Set your house free. Set it free from white supremacy, because all lies are going to cause corruption and sin later on. It's going to cause problems for your family. You love your family. I know you do. If you continue lying to them, eventually those are the kids that wind up dating a black guy anyway. It's pissing you off. So you might as well just tell them the truth about everything. Some of y'all tell them the truth about sex. You tell them about, you know, sex when they're young and condoms and all that. You want your kids to be exposed to everything. A lot of y'all, I'm not talking about just white people right now. I'm talking about everybody right now. But y'all want y'all kids to know everything. Tell them the truth. Say often. Just to counter that racism inside of their head, that white supremacy, you've got to battle that white supremacy inside of their head. That's why a lot of white people feel superior to blacks, because all their life they've been told all these lies about their start, everything, the Bible is white, all this stuff. You should make a conscious effort to tell your kids that the people in the book were dark-skinned. You can even end it like, well, that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is the Most High loves us. The Father loves us. He sent the Christ to die for us. But when they, you know, when they say, when you say he sent Christ to die for us, they're going to imagine something. Go ahead and color that imagination. Set the stage. I do. I make it very clear. Matter of fact, I don't even allow white images in my house. I said, I don't allow white images, especially if anybody, we're not supposed to be hanging up pictures of deity anyway. But even like the Israelites, I don't want no images of people in the Bible that paint white. That I don't want them nowhere in my house, on no brochure, on no pencil, on no pen, on a sticker, on nothing. It's not allowed. I've got to help my children understand truth. And I don't, some of them say, that's going to make them a racist. They're going to hate. No, they're not. That's another lie. Just because you want the truth don't produce racist. What produces racist is lies. What produces racist is hiding truth. What produces racist is knocking off the noses of stinks and stuff, and lying and burning down libraries, and commanding popes, commanding people to paint Christ white, and making sure Bibles get these certain images, and making sure these images are all over the world, all over the world. My goodness, that's what produced racism. White superior, black inferior mindset. And I have declared war on that mindset. I don't care what color Christ was. I have proof. My mama had proof. My brothers and sisters have proof that we could give a flip. You know what the proof is? We worship Christ all our life, thinking he was, you know, looking like he looks hanging up on some of y'all's walls. And we ain't had no trouble with it. Most black people I know could give a flip what color Christ looked like. Now that they found the truth, they just happen to know he was dark-skinned. All of the people in the Bible were. I know some of y'all thinking, brother, he's a little bit hardcore, ain't he? He's saying all. Yes, all of them were, because I can show you, to listen to us on Saturdays, I can show you with much scripture how white skin came into being. And when you see how it came into being, there is no way in the world the Most High made mankind white. You'll see it. Everything loses pigmentation. Plants. Every animal, every live creature on the planet, animals, has an albino children, a child, or every single one. Again, the word I'm trying to reach for right now. But every single offspring is what I meant to say. Every single animal have an offspring that loses pigmentation after so many thousand births. That came as a result of sin. Human beings is no different. We lead the pack. Every once in a while, wherever there's a presence of melanin, it can produce a child with absolutely no melanin. Black people, two blue black people can produce white, blue-eyed, blonde hair. And people would always say to me when I say, oh, white people are not, that, you know, they would talk about me, and but then I would say that they say, well, when black people have albinos, they are not white because their hair is kinky. I said, well, what happens if a person in India has an albino? And there's a video. If you go to my blog on my front page and click on any one of the broadcasts about leprosy, Bible leprosy, read in the description. There is a link to a video. Again, look in the blog under the different shows, the one about leprosy. Click on the link and you'll go get a video, and it breaks down how Indians from Indian Pakistani, when they are albino, they are no different than a white person. You won't be able to tell. They show it, and if I don't tell you, if I wouldn't tell you right now what you're going to get when you look at the video, you would not be able to distinguish this between an albino that's from Pakistan or India and a regular white person in Europe. Folks, I'm not making this stuff up. I'm not about hatred. I have better things to do with my time. I'm trying to bring together people. We're all one. We're all one. We're all one. There was only two people in the Garden of Eden, in the dust of the earth. That dust called, that dirt is called humus. It's dark earth. Humus, H-U-M-M-A-S. That's where you get the word human. We was made from that. The Most High said He made us from that. And if you don't think we were made from that, go dig up everybody that's dead, and they return back to dust. Dust thou art, dust shall thou return. So if they wasn't dust, how are they returning back to it? Y'all feeling me? So I'm not on no racist stuff. I said I'm not on no racist stuff. I'm trying to unite us as a people, as a nation. I thank the Most High for revealing to us who true Israel is. Because black people and my grandmothers and your grandmothers and grandfathers have always asked, who were we as a people? Why do we go through the things we go through? Why do we suffer? They've been asking it forever. Now this truth has come to fruition, and I'm just one of those careful persons that's been given this blessing, this revelation, and I'm trying to spread it as much as I can. I'm trying to help us organize and come together and get ready for this massive mass, not exodus from the churches, because I don't think everybody's going to leave the churches, but I guarantee you people are going to start asking questions about this. It's already happened. Folks have already started happening. People are already asking. People are already inquiring. People are already trying to get their churches to a more Hebraic form of worship because their Christianity is that of European Catholicism, and it's not Hebraic. People of churches are trying to return to the Hebraic one. They want to know the correct pronunciation of the Father's name, the Son's name. They want to know, they want to know what Leviticus laws can we keep. We know that we're not justified by the Leviticus laws because nobody can be justified by the law. But some of those laws would preserve us as a culture. Some of our women could use dressing like the Hebraic way. Some of our different diets can really use an overhaul by eating the Hebraic way. There's lots of people inquiring about the Hebraic way of this and the Hebraic way of that. And that's all Brother Seth is doing tonight, okay? So I want to leave out with a song that is going to touch your heart. I feel if you would just listen. And go ahead and close out the show. I would like for y'all to follow me, please. Those of you that have enjoyed what you have heard, please go on my front page at 5SmoothSong. That's 5_smooth_stones at blogtalkradio.com and follow the show and get reminders because I'm telling you, Thursday night, going to be another midnight show. You cannot miss it. You're talking about the one where government, spiritual warfare, demonic activity, what's really going on in the spiritual realm and how it trickles down into the natural realm from a Hebraic standpoint. Now that we know who the true Israelites are, Bible prophecy and end time events is taking a different turn. Yes, it is. Believe that. Okay? So anyway, we're justified by faith in the Most High. He makes us righteous. It's a gift, not of works. I'm going to leave you with this song, Shalom, greetings to everyone. I love everybody, no matter what ethnic group you're from. I ain't on no hatred. This show, this 5 Smooth Stones, me and Arlene, when she's on the show, we are not at all interested in anything that don't unite people, okay? We know you can't unite everybody, but we're definitely going to show everybody love. So I'm going to go ahead and say goodnight to everybody and check out this song. Thank you.
like you're lost.